Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you. Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit lisa.com/Chelsea to learn more. That's LEESA.com/Chelsea.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to season 4, everybody. This is season 4 of Dear Chelsea. Thank you for helping make us a sweet success. Okay. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi. Oh my God. Season 4. So many things have happened.
I know. I feel like these little communities are forming. People are reaching out to each other. I can't tell you how many times somebody will hear someone call in and they contact me and they'll be like, listen, I have the perfect solution for them, or I can connect them with someone who can help them. And so I pass their little email along and it's just really wonderful.
I wish Bernice could call in.
Aww.
My dog. I wish she could call in because I want to know what's on her mind. All I know is I love her ever since Bert passed away,
mm-hmm.
/ got put down,
mm-hmm.
only because it was the end of the road, not because I wanted to get rid of him. Can you imagine if he pissed me off and I just put him down?
Oh, no.
Anyway, Bernice has been a sweetheart. Just the sweetest thing. Last night, she was in bed. I usually have to force her up into my bed, which I had to stop doing because she had this really wicked cough. And I say wicked because I'm from Boston, the Boston area. But she had this really wicked cough. And I was like, God, is she getting like secondhand smoke from all my joints? And then I was like, is she smoking her own joints?
Yeah,
and then I sent her to the doctor and they kept giving her cough medicine and cough pills. And I was like, it's not a cough. It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
So then we took her to another vet. And they found out that she has a collapsed trachea, which they kind of intimated. Carla, my assistant, kind of tried to make it like it was my fault for picking her up her whole life. And I told Carla to just take it down a notch and shut the front door because that I don't pick her up by her fucking throat, first of all. Secondly, so now when I go up, she goes up the doggy stairs, I put a leash on her, I guide her up, you know, to trap her,
mm-hmm.
like a lobster.
Yes.
But now, last night, and this has been happening,
she,
when I come back from my tour weekends, because, you know, I've been on my tour, I come back and she comes, I guide her up the steps and she doesn't go down now.
She woke up
like 3 times last night and she was like, I was like, I put the light on so she could see the steps so she could go down, you know, to her doggy bed. But then she just looked at me, circled back around, dug her feet in and went back to sleep. So
it's
she's been sleeping
love.
With me through the night, which is I've never, ever had this experience when Bert was alive.
So nice.
And, you know, she again, like any marginalized woman, she has been marginalized. And since Bert is gone and he required so much attention
yeah.
and cuteness and neediness.
They get like mad at you. They get, I think Mimsy's like still mad at me specifically for getting these two puppies.
Oh,
like
yeah,
she has
is.
Not forgiven
She's
me.
She's mad at you. And I won't, I was like, oh, I got to get another puppy because I like to have two.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wait until the fall, A,
yeah.
because that's irresponsible because I'm going to be traveling a lot during the summer, and B, I want this time alone with my daughter. Now
yeah.
I understand.
It's true. Like, I definitely feel I have a lot of, like, mother's guilt of I'm not spending enough time with Mimsy now that the puppies are, like, the squeaky wheels in my face mm-hmm. all of the time. So I'm working on that. Like, taking her for extra walks, giving her extra love, which she, like, also sometimes doesn't want because she's like, I just want to, like, snuggle you. I don't want you to snuggle me back. She's
oh.
very that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She, like, wants to be, like, between your legs, but, like, she won't be in your front nook. She won't be spooned. She doesn't
front
have it.
Front nook. Oh, my God. Front. She can't be in your front nook,
no.
everybody. Translation, under your arm, everyone.
Exactly.
You didn't see Catherine's gesticulation, so to understand exactly what that meant.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the one-on-one time, and she's so sweet, Bernice, and mm-hmm. I just love her so much, and I'm just so grateful that I have dogs. In other non-canine news, I got these glasses, these progressive glasses. I got about 6 pair made, 3 sunglasses and 3 regular glasses. And the guy explained to me that the top part is for to see distance. The middle part is to see intermediate. I'm mm-hmm. like, what the fuck is intermediate? And the bottom part is for a close up. But when I sit on a plane, if I look down the print on the book, because I like to read on my plane rides.
Yeah.
I have to hold my head in a certain way so that it makes the print readable.
Yeah.
And I don't like these. And a lot of people warn me about these. And I'm going to take them all back and have them. I want bifocals is what I want.
Yeah. Just 2, not 3.
I don't need 3 compartments. And by the way, he was like, oh, I put a prescription on the top. I go, there is no prescription on the top. I've had LASIK. And he said, no, there's a light prescription. And I'm like, I don't think that there is. So, I mean, I guess ophthalmologists are right up there with veterinarians in my book.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have a real concrete answer to anything. Everything's vague. Why would you need intermediate seeing? Like between distance and short-sighted, why do you need to see another something?
There are famously have only been 2 for a very long time.
Yeah,
I don't know why
yeah.
there's a third.
So I guess people don't like the line in the bifocal.
Mm.
I don't give a shit, though. I mean, I'm going to be, how old am I? 48. I mean, at a certain point, I just yeah. have to give up.
Yeah. Brad had that happen once where he went to a new optometrist and this guy was like, no, I know your real prescription. All of the doctors you've been seeing for the last 15 years are wrong.
That's like when you get your bras fitted, you know, someone's like, oh, these are the bras. This is going to be the bra that fits you. And it is for the first 20 minutes.
Yes.
And then after you wear it, you're like, no, my tits look like
cones.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Full
I hate
cones.
That 40s look where my tits look pointy.
Yeah. And you just get stabbed in weird spots and it's no good.
I don't know about bra fitting, but definitely I've been wearing glasses since like 3rd grade. And this doctor was like, oh, hey, you know what? Your prescription, let your eyes do the work. Let your eyes work for it. And then he gave me this prescription that was less. So everything was blurry and I had to like squint at everything. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, work for what? And then also, you know, my favorite book, Letting Go by David Hawkins. In it, he talks about letting go of the fact that you can't see
uh-huh.
and just not wearing glasses and that his vision miraculously came back to him. So I tried that for about a month. That's the only section of the book. I'm like, listen, buddy, I don't know what kind of magic you're working.
You guys are just like bootstrapping your eyesight.
My cornea is just going to repair itself because I've decided to let go.
If you believe enough, it will.
But I am in a great meditation zone.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really feeling my meditations lately. I've been doing my Chopra app and I do these courses. But, you know, sometimes you don't really feel it. You just feel like you're sitting there thinking. But I'm really
yeah.
able to, like, stop my thoughts. And mm-hmm. I'm, like, going to this, like, place, like this light place. And it's
Ooh.
Very relaxed. And now I'm craving it.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been, I don't know how many years I've been meditating, probably like 4 or 5 now, but it's been great. But I'm in a zone right now and I'm liking it a lot.
Do you, what's it called when you can like cast your spirit somewhere else?
That's what I feel
Is
like
that
I'm
what
doing.
You're doing?
Like I'm not in my body.
Astral projection?
Yes.
Astral projection. Is that about my asshole?
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
Astral projection. Well, that's what I think I'm doing anyway. Yeah. Who knows if that's what I'm doing, but it feels like I'm not in my body. Like I'm in some light-filled atmosphere with my mom and my brother. They're always with me, so that's fun.
I love that. You can visit them anytime.
Yeah. I picture my mom like a little nymph flying around, like a little sphinx. Sphinx or nymph?
A fairy.
It's like that Greek mythology thing, when they fly around.
A sprite.
Yeah, a sprite. That's what I think of.
I like a sprite.
And Chelsea, you're about to be traveling a bunch.
And I have just announced new stand-up dates for my Little Big Bitch tour, guys. I announced 25 new cities. These are probably a lot of the cities people have been mentioning in the comments. I start out in East Hampton. I go to New York, D.C., Durham, North Carolina, L.A., Phoenix, Cleveland, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Chicago, Madison, Portland, to name just some. I will be performing at the Kennedy Center, everybody. That's in D.C., October 6th. I'm super psyched to be performing there. There are more. You can go to chelseahandler.com. I am on tour. I have dates coming up for the next 3 months and then more dates coming up in the fall. So those have all been announced. They're on my Instagram page or you can go to chelseahandler.com. Thank you. Our first guest of season 4 is someone who has been getting a ton of attention because she has been very loud and proud about her transition into girlhood. And I am loving it up and I'm loving her Instagram. So please welcome Dylan Mulvaney. Hi, Dylan Mulvaney, in person and looking beautiful as ever.
Thank you, Chelsea Handler.
So excited to finally meet you.
Oh my God, I gotta tell you, this is a full circle moment. I grew up when I was about 13, 14 years old, this, you know, gay boy pre-transition. I had a friend group called the Harlots, and it was me and a bunch of girls, bad bitches. And we used to pass your books around, and that's how we learned about sex.
Oh.
And so I texted them all. It had been a while since I've, you know, talked with them, but I said, you're never going to believe who I'm going to see today. So I just really, it's a very full circle moment.
Oh, well, I'm so glad to hear that. Dylan has gained a lot of notoriety and popularity on her TikTok series, Becoming a Girl. Or is it Being a Girl?
Days of Girlhood.
Days of Girlhood,
sorry. We just hit day 365 a few weeks ago.
Yes, yay. And you had a big celebration.
I did a big show, musical, baby. I'm Broadway. We had singing, dancing, and acting.
Oh my God, talk about a full circle moment.
Yes.
So I want to ask you so many questions, but let's just start about gaining the confidence and the self-assuredness to follow your pursuit of becoming the real person that you wanted to be.
Absolutely. When I was 4 years old, I came to my mom and I said, Mom, I think I'm a girl. And, you know, we grew up very Catholic, very conservative. And
Where'd you grow up?
The outskirts of San Diego.
Okay.
And a little town called Alpine. And I was a boy in a dance studio at age 3, you know, only boy there dancing. But I came to my mom and I said this, and she said, well, God doesn't make mistakes. And this was the year 2000. And so there really weren't many resources at all, except, you know, the only transness we got to see was a sex worker on NCIS that had been hurt. You know, we hadn't seen trans people experiencing success or happiness or, you know, it was, I don't resent my family or even myself for not allowing me to become this woman that I am now, because this was all part of the journey. And finally, you know, those gender thoughts, I pushed them away, because when I was starting to discover my sexuality, which is a different thing than gender, I thought that being gay was at the end of the world. I thought, really, it doesn't, you know, it can't get any worse. And so transness wasn't even allowed to be in my mind. And so I came out as gay at 14.
But when you said to your mother that you were 4, when you were 4, you said, I feel like I'm a girl. And she just was like, God doesn't make any mistakes. And that was it.
We did some, you know, I went to some therapy, and again, a very different time. So I'm not resentful at all.
Right.
But it was then at the pandemic, I was touring with a Broadway musical called The Book of Mormon. And
ironic.
It's wild. But I was spent my whole life, you know, doing theater, playing these male roles. And there was no room even in that industry to be trans. And so once the pandemic hit, it was the first time that I didn't even have to see myself playing a part. I was like, who is Dylan really without theater and religion and all of these things that had been put on me? And I was a really feminine little boy growing up. And I felt like I stripped parts of myself away for so many years that I'm now finding again. And I think that's been the most beautiful part is getting to finally give in to those feelings and those desires and those outfits and whatever it might be that brings me euphoria. But during the pandemic, I was like, okay, let's reopen that question of gender. And I identified as non-binary for about a year, went by they, them pronouns, and it still was not where I was supposed to be. And I think it was so daunting making that jump from being a man to then that trans woman title scared the shit out of me. And it's so funny, I don't usually curse, but I'm around you and I kind of feel like I want to let loose a little bit.
It happens.
But you have that influence. I thought, you know, non-binary moment of my life was kind of this little cloud that I got to land on for a hot second. And it was not the end of my journey. That's when I finally accepted. I started hormones while I was non-binary to, you know, feminize my body. And then I took on that she pronoun and it feels so good.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that you were able to pursue what you felt was necessary to be a complete human being. And I think what people's resistance is to transgender people, to the whole LGBTQIA community, is that it's different from what they know. Mm-hmm. And anything that's different than what anybody knows scares them for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
it's the same reason people want to hold on to power and don't want to give equality to everybody, because they're scared of what they may lose. And they're lack of understanding, instead of looking at it as a huge growth opportunity, mm-hmm. to be like, oh my God, tell me everything. I want to understand you better.
Right.
It doesn't come at the front.
Well, and they, you know, a lot of people don't have a Dylan in their lives to ask questions. And I think that's kind of why I got online too, was because I wanted to be that friend for people. I wanted to show that I'm not some monster. And it's sad that there are still so many people that are trying to use this really beautiful journey against me and twisting my words and taking things out of context. But at the end of the day, like, I'm happier than I ever have been, because I can't imagine going back to that other, you know, person. It breaks my heart to think about.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So how do you reconcile that? Like, when you look back at your former life, mm-hmm. before you became a woman, how do you frame that time?
You know, I try to actually think about it in a very positive. I always do glass half full. Everything that has happened before transition, that was supposed to happen. That was part of my story. I was learning things. And now I feel like now it's all icing on the cake, because I actually got to the cake finally. But I don't want to ever resent, you know, there are sometimes the mindset of like every day before, you know, I came out was absolutely horrible. But no, I had some good times in my life, but I just hadn't entered my full potential at all. You know, when you're locked into yourself, right? And you're mm-hmm. like, oh, this is who I am. This feels right. My intuition has never been more alive within myself. So I'm trying to stay strong.
Yeah. Yeah. And you will be strong. You're already strong.
Thank you.
You know, there's always going to be bumps in the road, and mm-hmm. things will happen that will feel like you're getting off course. But it's up to you to remain steadfast and true to who you are and to follow your truth, because yeah. your truth is unlike anyone else's. And people have a easy time forgetting that. I want to talk a little bit about what it takes to actually transition, because that is another argument for the reason that people wouldn't be doing it. It's not easy. It's not easy to transition. It's not easy to change your sex that you were born with, or to feel like you're not the person that you were meant to be. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I really get upset when people say, you know, she woke up one day and just decided she wanted to be a girl. Like, this was not a decision. This was who, every fiber of my being. And I put in a lot of freaking effort and a lot of, you know, mental gymnastics, a lot of therapy, a lot of soul searching to do this. And it is something that I don't take lightly. I think that this journey that I'm on, you know, going on hormones, those were all huge decisions that I had to make, and very private ones. And while, you know, every transition looks completely different, you know, there are trans people that aren't on hormones or that might choose not to get surgeries. But for those of us who need those things for our dysphoria, we need access to them, and that we can't be vilified for needing those things.
Right. And you recently had facial feminization, right?
Yes. Oh, babe. I feel it's good, right?
Yeah.
It's good.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful.
And my biggest thing about sharing that process online was that I didn't want people to see it as plastic surgery. I needed them to know that this is like an affirming surgery that can change lives and possibly save lives. And it was so wild to look in the mirror and see what I imagined for the, you know, for the first time to kind of, it was just a soften of my features. I didn't look totally different, but a very emotional experience. And I do think like there's power in sharing a story so that people can get like a little look in.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you're doing is freeing other people. When you share your story, you're giving license to other people to share their stories and mm-hmm. to follow their dreams. How many surgeries have you had to have thus far?
So it's funny, like there's really no rule book to how transitions go. And again, it's like you can, you know, sort of pick and choose what it is based on your euphoria and dysphoria. So, you know, that was because I'm so in the public eye right now. I knew that that was one of the first things that I wanted to do since I am so on display and I was feeling so self-conscious and very upset about my features. But now I'm actually think I'm going to take a little bit of a step back about talking about my physical transition because, first of all, that word influencer scares the shit out of me because I don't want to influence anyone to do anything. But I don't want other trans people, especially young trans people, to feel like they have to do something in mm-hmm. order to be trans. And so while I do have other plans and other surgeries that I'd like, I haven't decided how I'm going to necessarily share those because I don't want to set any sort of precedent.
Mm-hmm. That's nice and responsible, I'm sure.
Moms are more than the stuff they do for us, the laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chelsea.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to know how it made you feel to get all this love online.
Oh,
and
my God.
I mean, you're a viral, you know, superstar.
Thank
on
you.
Instagram and TikTok. If you don't follow her already, it's at Dylan Mulvaney. And
hey, you're killing it on TikTok right now, too. I'm digging the PSAs. They're great.
I got another one coming up that involves you, so stay tuned. So tell us about what that welcoming and affirmation must feel like, because after going through something and experiencing something for so long, and taking the balls by, you know, the bull by its horns and saying, fuck it, this is my life, I'm going to do what I'm going to do,
Yeah. You
know, and having people applaud that.
Well, I still don't really get social media, to be honest. It's so crazy how fast things can travel there. And I think normally, like, I was a musical theater kid. I still want to be an actress. And normally you like book a movie and you have like 2 years before it comes out. So you kind of have some preparation of like, okay, this might happen, you know. But I mean, I think I had a million followers in like 17 days, and no one can really like get you ready for that. And I think also I was essentially sharing the most vulnerable parts of my life. So there's kind of a double whammy of putting yourself out there and having your transness on display. And if another trans person came to me right now and said, oh, should I start from day one and showcase? I'd say, oh, babe, I don't know about that, just because of all of the turmoil that's come from it. But I will say the amount of love and the fact that on day one, I said, this is who I am. And I hadn't had, you know, any surgery. I was still very much finding my femininity and figuring out what really makes me a woman versus the misogyny that I still am working through that was placed on me. But I was supported by women saying, we stand by you, we see you as a woman, we're here for you on this journey. And now I have people in the comments being like, we've been here since day one, day seven, day nine. And that gives me hope. And I hope that it shows other trans people that are still in the closet that they can, when they're ready and mm-hmm. on their own time, that they can feel allowed to come out and to experience life in a beautiful way.
Yeah, I think one of the most offensive things to hear is people who are talking about, you know, trans people saying, oh, it's trendy. It's trendy. Are we supposed to let children change their sex before they're ready? Because what if they change their mind back? And it's such a miseducation and an unknowing. Like, I had a friend say to me, oh, I know there are 8-year-old kids that are getting transgender surgery without their parents. And I'm like, that's simply not true.
No.
First of all, there is no 8-year-old that can go to the fucking doctor and become...
drive themselves there.
You can't do that at 8. It's just so dumb.
But
so
it's insane that notion of like trendiness, because transness has existed like since the beginning of time. And truly, like, in certain cultures, the two spirits or transness was actually like seen as almost the most holy or the most reverent or the most respected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad to watch, as you know, the years go by, it get sort of picked apart due to capitalism and all of these things that have essentially let go of the fact that this is who we are.
And well, that, and also just in a scientific aspect, from a scientific perspective, there is a spectrum of male. What male, like mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger, is at one end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Pamela Anderson is at the other end of the spectrum. That's a boy. That's a girl. And then there's 50 million things in between.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
and it's biological as well. It's not just an idea.
This has been going on since people were born. Like mm-hmm. this is not new. This is not trendy. We just happen to have a vocabulary about it in this modern era.
It makes me very sad too when they go, oh, she's doing this to get famous or you know what. When I came out, I was assumed that I would not work for a very long time. Mm. It's not like trans people are out here thriving. We're just trying to survive. And my experience online that and my success is like one millionth of what it actually is to be trans. The transphobia I experience is so different than that of a Black trans woman who, these are, as much as I am going through it and I have, a lot of people that maybe don't care for me, there's still so much privilege in what in my experience compared to other trans people's. And I need to make sure that we're taking care of the whole community and that this isn't, there's nothing about this that's a gimmick. This is my truth. It's such an odd remark to make that they think that I would do this for any reason, but because of it's such a difficult decision.
Yeah. Well, and I think there is something scary to people who are scared of transness or, mm-hmm. The LGBTQ community. There's something scary about someone like you who chooses, despite that adversity, to show up bubbling over with joy and to bring positivity. Even though it is difficult, to still show off your joy.
Well, and that's the thing. And I'll say also, and I think you'll get me on this, comedy for me is my way in. And so a lot of the times I will make light of sometimes these really dark situations because it's my coping mechanism. It always has been. I like making people laugh. I like making people smile. I was doing a lot of stand-up about a year ago, and I realized it was very healing for me I love to overshare. I think you can relate. But I tried to find the funny in transness, and it's a slippery slope because then things get taken out of context or it gets used against you. And I think I now am trying to take a step back. And another thing that happens too when you're trans is you immediately get labeled as like an activist and that you know how to speak on all of these things and that you have the answers. But I'm a baby trans. I'm still so new to my journey that I've made a lot of missteps. I've spoken out of turn. And the most important thing is that, hopefully not all trans people have to be these like activists, have to have every single answer.
Right.
I have so much left to learn.
That's a good point that you bring up. As an activist, also, you're speaking up for things that you care about. It doesn't mean that you know the answer to every in and out of the subject or the topic. Obviously, we are interested in educating ourselves on whatever topic we're being an ally to or an ally for.
I'm a musical theater major. So, my way in. I'm like, God, can I sing about it? And that's what I did on day 365. I was like, let me show people what I actually want to do, which was perform. And I used my story to kind of put it into a show. And now going forward, I think that if I was to create a show with a trans character or to write a touring show, those are different forms of activism in itself. And I actually think that through scripted and through comedy that we can learn from
absolutely. I mean, that's how we learn about everything in this world.
Right. It's almost easier when it's not a real human, that it's like, there's a little bit of mystery there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if for folks who aren't really clear about euphoria and dysphoria, can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Okay. So I remember early on in my transition, those first moments of actually purchasing an item of clothing that I've always, craved wearing, or even just a man opening the door and calling me ma'am. I know that's so gender stereotype, but it was like, oh my God. And funny enough, during the pandemic, wearing those masks, it was kind of nice because I still have a little, I'm trying to get rid of this beard hair and she's really putting up a fight. But
beard. Hey, by the way, I'm trying to deal with my beard hair too.
You know, that's what I heard.
I have those blonde, well, I have different beard hair, but the blonde fuzzies, I shave my face all the time.
They come, we'll do it together. And I just think they're euphoria, truly, it are those little moments that sometimes it isn't this like outward, like, oh my God, it's, but it's like that little spark in you that's like, oh, yes. And then dysphoria is truly, it feels like a darkness that kind of washes over you. And it is those moments of being misgendered. Mm-hmm. Or I remember before transitioning, having to put on a male outfit for an audition, or, you know, just like that conforming that made me so sad.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of these haters don't realize, is that the mental effects of misgendering in the media, it breaks my heart. Because, you know, there are people calling me a man, and I don't, right now, I feel like I'm not even processing any of it, because I'm so scared to do that deep dive and to know what the effects are. And I'll say, these haters, they really wore me down for a second. Mm-hmm. But then they came for you, Chels, and I thought, oh my God, this is my favorite woman in the entire world. And the same people that are coming for me are coming for her. And it actually, something clicked. And I went, oh my God, maybe what they're saying isn't true, because I'm now watching them take out someone I love, and I know her truth, and I stand by her, and I love her. So maybe the same goes for me, because it's almost easier when it's not about you and it's about someone you love or enjoy. And I know we hadn't met yet, but I actually was able to see in through your experience with them.
Oh, wow. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I was saying this to you a little bit before we started, but, you know, the haters is kind of like, it's just like you have a big pile of stuff. There's always going to be, there's going to be some negative stuff.
Right.
You know, you have to learn how to focus on the positive and mm-hmm. all the people that you're impacting. And eventually it just rolls right off your back.
And we both know how to have a good time.
Exactly.
And that's what, you know, I don't think they want to see that.
No. Yeah. I mean, for Republican men to tell me that I'm unhappy, I'm like, who said I was happy? You guys are assuming I'm happy because of the way I'm living. Yeah, I'm not going, I'm happy, I'm happy. I don't have to say that because no. I fucking am happy. I don't have to scream it from the rooftops.
Amen.
Every time I do now something, they've given me more motivation just to fuck with them, because they can't handle a woman who knows, A, that can take care of a lot of people around her, that doesn't need a man to do that and doesn't need a child to do that. You're not going to keep me down mm-hmm. ever. And I think that's how anyone who's ever receiving that has to look at it. It's like, look at the source. You know what I mean? Look at the ignorance and look at the idea. For me personally, the idea that a man knows what's best for me is preposterous.
Especially a man that doesn't actually know you.
No, but no one who knows me knows what's best for me, except
you
for
do.
Me
yes.
and my sister, maybe Simone and Shoshana, but I don't even know. I know what's best for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just
Same.
Like you know what's best for you. And like every individual listening to this podcast knows what's best for you. There's an inner knowing that we all have. And it doesn't matter if you were born a boy or born a girl, you have an intuition that comes with your person. And that's what you have to listen to. And on that note, we should take some callers.
Yeah.
I think. We're going to take a break so I can calm the fuck down. Okay. Moms are more than the stuff they do for us. The laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, Dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give Mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chelsea.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back with Dylan and Chelsea. Well, our first question is just an email. Kayla says, "Dear Chelsea, rejection has always been my biggest fear. As a kid, I had almost no friends. I was teased for my looks. My old soul personality was misunderstood. Now I'm in my mid-30s, and I have more friends than I can handle. Don't get me wrong. I feel grateful to have so many girlfriends that I can count on and grow with, but I feel pretty overwhelmed with maintaining all of these relationships in a meaningful way. Nowadays, I seem to mostly get asked to go to all the big events, such as weddings, birthdays, and baby showers, and I'm often told, you're the busiest person I know, so I'm less likely to get asked to just have coffee. It's true, though. My schedule feels so full, and I'm drained by balancing all these relationships. Besides friends, my husband has a large family, and mine is quite sizable, too. It's a lot of personal relationships to maintain. Chelsea, you seem like the kind of person who has a ton of friends. How do you keep up with everyone? I never feel like I'm being a good enough friend. Should I try to not be so hard on myself or work on more practical ways to keep in touch with them all? Thanks so much, Kayla."
Oh, well, that's a good problem to have, yeah. Kayla. I would say, I'll go first, and then Dylan, you can chime in anytime you want.
Okay.
I would say that, yes, that is a good problem to have. I would say to be respectful to all of the people that are in your life. And the way I show respect personally is I respond to every text and email that I get. Wow. I always respond. It might take a minute, but especially text, I find that that is a more personal kind of way. So if I've forgotten an email or two, that, you know, that's probably true. But texting wise, I try to get back to every single person who leaves me a text message. And even if it's the news isn't good, like I can't make it, it's nice to just show that kind of, they used to say deference in school. When I wouldn't respect my teachers, they said you had to show deference. And I was like, fuck off. But deference is just just showing somebody respect and saying, like, you know, creating boundaries creates respect. That is true. When you say no to things because you need time alone or you know, you have other plans or whatever, that's all fine. You don't have to overextend yourself. That's not doing anybody any favors, because you grow resentful of the person that you're overextending yourself for, and you grow resentful of not spending enough time on yourself. So I would just say to anybody, like, I mean, it seems like it's more of a personal problem from your writing. Like, you feel that you need to spend all this time with all these people. I would say dial that back a little bit. Give yourself some room to breathe and reassess yourself. Give yourself 6 weeks and say, okay, I'm going to do this for 6 weeks and see how I feel at the end of the 6 weeks. I'm going to respond to anyone who asks me, but I'm not going to make plans with every single person who asks me. I'm going to say, actually, I have a really busy week. Or if you're not, I mean, it was kind of a mixed message, because she's saying she's getting invited to big things rather than the little things. If those little interactions are important for you, and studies show that it is very important to socialize, it is very important to be around other people, but it's also very important to regroup. Like, I need an inordinate amount of time to be by myself in order for me to perform on stage on a regular basis during a tour. I need to be alone for many hours a day. I have to conserve my fucking energy, because I don't have the energy and the stamina that I had when I was in my 20s and, you know, whatever. So
Because you're so present with people. And that's what I'll say. I nearly died when you said I respond to every text message, because my phone is like, we're in the hundreds, babe. And I was feeling so guilty. I'm the number one people pleaser. But then I realized my goal is that when I actually am with someone in person, or if I'm on a phone call, I'm going to be 100% present. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do the half-ass sort of like, oh, I'm going to hang out with a bunch of people, but I'm going to be, you know, in a bunch of different places in my head or working. Or no, I want to show up. And when I do get those moments, which maybe are more rare now with friends or loved ones, I want to be there fully. And I've actually now set the precedent that, do you know Glennon Doyle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She talked about, she doesn't really text anymore. She thinks that you're basically always at the beck and call of someone else. And so now all my friends know to call me, and we'll have these great, you know, phone calls and chats, and that has like filled me up in a new way.
And you know what? That's great that you say that, because I'm the opposite. I would prefer a text rather than a phone call. Don't fucking call me. But I think what you said is very prescient, because it's very important. That's what I said to my girlfriend once. She got mad at me for canceling. And I said, listen, I'm canceling because I'm not going to be able to be present. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I feel like shit. I want to be present. And that is the most important gift you can give somebody, is your time and presence.
And how funny, too, the people that I want to hang out with the most are usually the ones that are like, oh, I'm not going to message her because she's busy. But then it's the people that, you know, they're hounding you to hang out, and you're like, wait, no, I want to go see these other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's also really reaching out to the people that you want to be around, that you want to go on that coffee date with, and then saying no when it feels right.
And also measuring how you feel after your interactions with people. Like, actually taking in, are you getting a lot out of this relationship, or are you being present for someone going through a difficult time? Those are two ends of the spectrum, but they also, like, I like to be there. I like emotional triage. When somebody needs something and a friend needs something, then I like to be there for them. I excel at that. But I'm not going to be doing that for 2 years in a row. You know what I mean? I want to help you get out of it. And then there's other friends who don't necessarily need you, who are bringing something and filling your cup up. So it's good to measure the time that you're spending with people, because if you're exhausting yourself on three people that are fair weather friends, and then you've lost all your energy for the real friend, like, you have to kind of measure who brings what into your life and what is the value and how much of a priority each friend is.
Communicating with someone how you like to be communicated with, which you've both said I think is awesome. So for example, maybe it's, sorry, I can't come to your birthday party, but let's grab coffee and set a date, you know, so that you get that one-on-one time with someone who does fill your cup.
And yeah, that's a nice idea. Because you like to text and I like to call, so I just
so we'll
just
have to Marco Polo. We'll meet each other in the middle. Do you call or do you FaceTime?
Oh, I like to call, because I, like, what if I'm peeing or, you know, right. I don't, that's a lot. FaceTiming is a lot.
Right. Well, FaceTiming is a lot. I consider that to be an assault. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just fucking FaceTime me. But most of my people know that. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Talking on the phone, I have to say, is sexier than FaceTiming.
It's a little mystery.
Yeah.
Yes. Like staring at somebody for 2 hours is just not
a fun. Or if there's like a man that you're texting and all of a sudden it goes beep, 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 beep. And you're like, oh, shit. You know, and you're like putting on some eyeliner really fast. See how long. You're like, 1 minute.
You just throw your phone in the toilet. You're like, oh, my God.
Well, Kayla, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, Kelly, hopefully we gave you some advice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, our first caller today is Dane. And this one is a bit of a gut punch. So fair warning.
Okay.
Dear Chelsea, I'm writing in today because I'm a trans guy and my mom has been ashamed of me ever since I came out as trans to her almost a decade ago. She didn't understand then and still doesn't. We didn't speak for almost 9 months because she didn't respect my name change and my pronouns. When I would tell her, it hurt my feelings that she didn't even try to use my preferred name or pronouns. She'd lecture me for hours about how selfish I was or I needed to grow up and understand that the real world would never be as understanding as she was. She's a proud conservative and conspiracy theorist and takes every opportunity to spread her ignorance. I'm at my wit's end. She's currently engaged to a guy who's even more transphobic than she is. He supposedly loves me, but here's the thing. He doesn't know I'm trans. If he knew, I think he'd lose it. He saw a picture of me pre-transition early in their relationship and asked her about it. Instead of the truth, she told him that she had a daughter who was killed in a drug driving accident. When I had top surgery several years ago, she made up excuses and lied to him about why she was coming over to check on me. She's my only remaining family. I've always taken care of her since I was a young child. I was the parent for both of us. She sees me as her son now, but still posts transphobic things online constantly. She isn't supportive of my long-term transition goals, and if I so much as cough, she blames it on my hormone therapy. As I get older and work through all my trauma and therapy, I'm starting to wonder how much I should keep trying with her. I don't want to lose my only family, but I also feel so jaded from everything she's put me through. What should I do, Dane?
Hi, Dane.
Dane.
Hi.
Oh, my Dane. God. This is Dylan Mulvaney. She's our guest today. So you have another set of years.
Nice to meet you.
First of all, I wish I could give you like the biggest hug ever. I'm trans as well. And I know that our journeys are very different, but I can relate on multiple levels. You know, I come from a very conservative family as well. And I know how frustrating this might be,
yeah.
But I do believe people are capable of change. And sometimes it can take a long time, but I also... What I worry about with your mom is it sounds like she loves you with almost like an asterisk of like what that means. You know, there's all of these layers of getting to that love that, you know, should just be so pure between a parent and a child with no, what's the word?
The unconditional. It
unconditional
should be unconditional love.
Love
between a mother and a child or between hopefully any two people. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. But continue.
And I'm just hoping that outside of this one person that is technically your biological family, I just want you to have the most amazing chosen family around you. And I want you to be surrounded with other trans people that love you and making sure that when those transphobic comments do come from someone like your mom, that they can be there to step up and say, that's not true. We know you and this is what we see. And I don't want you to lose your favorite parts of yourself because of that bond that you're trying so hard to keep together. Do you have any thoughts, Chels?
Yeah, I would say that your mom is really toxic for you at this stage in your life. I also believe people change, but her behavior posting anti-trans shit online when she knows that she has a son who's trans is just, that's like hanging out with your own bully. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that there's any benefit or change that's going to happen from continuing this relationship, especially after the circumstances you mentioned in this letter, your stepfather who she lied to about her son. I mean, what is that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very psychotic behavior. And you can't pretend somebody died. Like, that's psychotic.
Yeah.
So I think based on her behavior alone, like, I think you kind of owe it to yourself to create a lot of distance and enjoy the people that you have in your life that really love you. I know this is your mother, and then that's very difficult. I've never had to like disassociate from my parents, but I would say that it's not in your best interest to have her in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, we've had periods in our relationship where we have gone months at a time without speaking. And because of all of the trauma that we've been through individually and together, we always kind of end up coming back together. And that in itself is really hard, you know, that.
What kind of trauma are you talking about? Are you talking about your transition or are you talking about other trauma?
Other trauma.
Okay. Like what?
Really bad stuff, you know, that she's done and that was done to both of us throughout my childhood, her childhood.
I see.
You know, it's brutal. Trauma bonding is a real thing. And especially when we're all each other has, it makes it extra hard, you know, to kind of sever those ties. And it makes it hard too when there is that distance and that separation, and then promises are made that, oh, you know, we'll try, or we won't, you know, we won't talk about these things, or we won't do this. And then those promises fade away and old habits come out. And then it's just like, oh, you haven't really changed. You know, you're still the same toxic person. And you just kind of wanted to Trojan horse your way back in. So it's hard. And I do believe people can change. You know, I'm evidence of that. You know, I've changed a lot and I've grown and healed in a lot of really positive ways.
You're amazing.
Thank you. But it's hard to want the same thing for her, you know, to want her to heal and for her to grow in positive ways, but to not be able to force that and just to kind of have to bear the burden of that trauma and that weight and not walk together in the light. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You said that you ended up taking care of her. And I want you to know that that was not your job and that a child should be a child and a parent should be the parent. And that those roles that were placed on you are not normal, that wasn't healthy, and they've continued throughout your life, even though you're now also an adult. And I believe that your transness was probably one of the first times that you went against taking care of her, because that was you taking care of yourself, and that scared the shit out of her. Mm, and that transphobia, totally. It could have been anything, but it was your transness that took precedent, because that's who you are. That was always who you've been. And I think for her, that resentment towards your transness also comes from the fact that you were able to stand up to her and say, this is who I am. I'm playing by these rules. And that's kind of one of the only times that you've done that, because it was so important to you. But you need to be able to do that in every area of your life and not just your gender identity, because that is when she will actually see you as an equal and as an adult and someone that, you know, it kind of sounds like maybe you should go cold turkey for a second and show her what it's like to experience her life without you, because you bring so much light to it that maybe she needs to be reminded just exactly how much light that is.
If you do choose to keep a relationship with her at all, you got to unfollow the Facebook, you got to unfollow all the socials, mute, whatever you got to do. But like, you don't need to see that. You don't need that popping up in your day. And give yourself boundaries as well, because I know you live in different places. Mm-hmm. When you do go to visit, don't stay at her house. You need to stay nearby, somewhere else, so that when you need to retreat and go into your own space, you have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And creating boundaries. You need to create boundaries.
Also, the fact that she has not told her husband that you are trans, that is like such a huge red flag.
Wild.
Of shame.
Mm, yeah.
And you, there is nothing to be ashamed of being you. And I breaks my heart that she is so scared to even share that with another very important person in her life. And so I think before that reunion can happen, I think that conversation needs to happen. And it might prolong that time apart and it might get even messier. But I don't think you can go forward in this relationship with that secret. And my God, like, you're her child at the end of the day. That should take the cake.
I have a question. Have you had any separation from her? Like, have you guys ever taken a time out from your relationship?
Yeah, like we've had periods of up to like almost a year of not speaking, not seeing each other at all.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of just revert back to where it started, or back to your regular habits with each other?
You know, over time, it doesn't just go immediately back to like over super, you know, super close. Take some time to get back there. But yeah, eventually we end up back, you know, two peas in a pod kind of thing. We've never gotten like fully, you know, back to where we were like when I was a kid, but
See, you just almost said when we were kids, that's how you think of her as a kid, you know, because that's how she is behaving probably and how you guys trauma bonded in the first place because you were both in a situation where you felt like you were being treated like children or you were acting like children when you were a child and she wasn't. So trauma bonding is very, very complicated. And do you have a therapist that you see?
Yeah. Oh, you think I'm surviving without a therapist?
Yeah, well, honey.
Do you have other trans people in your life that are like lifting you up?
Not closely. You know, I'm part of a few online groups that I reach out to occasionally for support for my transition goals, but I'm not like close with any trans people.
Really?
Well, I'll be close to you.
Please, by all means. I would love that because it's hard out here.
It is hard. Where are you? Where do you live?
I'm in the Portland area.
Okay.
I was going to say, we should get you connected with Shane from season one.
Oh. Yes,
oh
yes.
Oh, my gosh.
What, prison is not a joke, right? Yes. Yeah.
We'll follow each other.
Yeah, we have to connect you with Shane, too. He transitioned as well. And
didn't tell his family for like 8 years.
Yes, wow. Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a very good goal for you also is to have a little bit more of a community for you. You know, take Dylan up on her offering and you guys can connect online and also we'll connect you with Shane. But yeah, I think you need a timeout from your mom. And I think before you reintroduce her back into your life, then you're going to have to really set some clear boundaries for your own mental health. Yeah. You know, don't follow her. You don't need to be exposed to any of that, what Catherine said. But also for her to be able to be in your life, she has to meet certain requirements. And that's up to you what those have to be. But I would suggest that one of them should be truthful to the person that she's marrying about the truth of your situation. Because any secret builds shame and it's unnecessary.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I finished reading this book, Healing the Shame That Binds You by John Bradshaw. And I loved it. I've been on a huge like reading kick lately and I really enjoyed that book because it's all about toxic shame. And I sent it to my mom. I was like, you should really read this. And she's like, oh yeah, I'll check it out. I don't know that she actually will, but if she does, maybe it'll teach her a few helpful lessons.
Hey, you gave her a resource and now it's a two-way street and she can meet you halfway. It's the least she could do.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, how does it feel to you when we say to take a break from your mother? How does that make you feel?
I mean, it's something that I've done before and something that I'm fully aware is logical and reasonable and something that is good for me by all accounts.
And will you let her know you're taking a break or you'll just phase out?
It'll probably just phase out. I mean, she already senses distance between us, you know, like she, and that'll make her even try to cling harder because she'll randomly guilt me about certain things when she senses that distance. I know I haven't been the best mother and, you know, but you turned out so great despite me, that kind of thing. And
actions speak louder than words. So,
100%.
I think it would benefit. I'm always into writing a letter, like even if it's a goodbye letter, it's nice to write it. Whether you send it or not is up to you. And maybe this is something you can discuss further with your therapist. But you should write a letter about how it feels for your mother to deny who you are.
Oh, I got you beat on that. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I sent her an hour long like video. This is the last time we didn't speak for like 6 months.
Oh,
I sent
really?
Her an hour long video of like, this is all the abuse that you put me through. I'm tired of you like hating on me and other trans people and, you know, minorities and like all this shit that you post online. I'm sick of it. It was literally like an hour long video. And her response to me was just, I'm so tired of you, you know, hating on me just because of my political views. I've walked on eggshells around you for the last 5 years. You know, it's time. I think we just need a break from each other is basically what she said.
Political views.
Yeah.
It's like, it's called human rights.
Totally disregarded everything I said about the abuse and the way she treats me and me being trans. She just disregarded all that and was just like, sorry, my politics offend you. Let's take a break from each other.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's not so accusatory or maybe it's not such an indictment of her. Maybe you can make it short and sweet and put it in writing so it's not even you speaking so it can't be misinterpreted. Just saying how much I love you. You're my mother. You know, you gave birth to me. We've been through a lot together. And now I have to get healthy. And I can't do that when my true personhood is being denied by the person who gave birth to me, and make it so simple and not make it about you did this, you did this, you did this. It's about how you feel and why you have to move on. And of course, she may not accept that or think it's garbage or dismiss it, but it's a nice way of ending or putting like a pin in something without having anything left unsaid or unspoken. It's not mandatory, but if you feel like doing something like that and writing something short and sweet that isn't nasty or harmful, but it's about you and your growth, it might be something that sits better with her because she's obviously on the defense all the time.
Maybe it could be like what you would love to have in a mom, and not how she's not those things, but like, I think now it's, you aren't a child anymore. And so you get to redefine this relationship of what does a parent mean to you now? And these are the things that, you know, is it, I need a cheerleader. I need someone who's, we call each other every week just to check in, or, you know, it getting very specific about like what that relationship that you want to look like. And that could be far away, but I really feel for you. I personally have actually been through something a little similar as of recently. I want to tell you that it's going to be okay. And I want you to have all the trans people in your life. I think trans masculine people also to make sure that you feel so supported, that you know your magic, and that you are so loved.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you are loved. So like, know that what you did is really, really brave. Like, you're a brave person, and you don't have to subject yourself to people that make you feel less than. It's just not your responsibility. You're not responsible for your mother. You're not responsible for anything but your own decency and like humanness. You know what I mean? And as long as you're following your gut and you're following your instinct and you're being good to people around you and being loving and caring of others, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the road that you got here, like, it sounds like you've been through a lot of trauma. You don't deserve any more trauma.
Yeah. I definitely don't want any more. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, Dane, thank you so much for sharing with us. Yeah. I know this is really, really tough stuff.
Yeah, we're sending you a lot of love, honey bunny.
Yeah. When I was writing into you guys, I was just thinking of the Martha Stewart episode where she's like, Chelsea, you get some really heavy shit on here.
Yeah, meanwhile, Martha was not fucking ready for that. I was like, all right, Martha, this might not be the right person to have people calling in since she can't relate to anybody normal.
If she listens to this, she's just like, this is...
No, she won't be listening to this. I promise you. She's baking.
She's baked for sure.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, she's baked. Oh, poor Martha. Okay, well, Dane, keep in touch with us, okay? If you need anything ever again, let us know.
Thank you guys so much. Take care.
Okay.
Bye. Nice to meet you. Love you.
The idea of all these people, these parents, I don't understand how parents can disown their own child. I, as a non-parent, wouldn't be able to disown a human being that came to me and said, I'm different than what we thought, you know, like, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even have to be related to me. So I don't understand this, like, I guess I'm just in a bubble. I am in a bubble. Moms are more than the stuff they do for us. The laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, Dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give Mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Books is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm fresh flowers from Books. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Books company. Books is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Books has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Books is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Books now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Books.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's Books.com, promo code Chelsea.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all.
We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have one last caller, and I thought this was a good question because it sort of has less to do with actually dating and more to do with how other people perceive us as we move through the world after talking to her. But Marie says, "Dear Chelsea, I'm a 31-year-old woman currently living in North Carolina. I realized in my late 20s that I was not attracted to men after years of suppressing my attraction to women. I've been on several dates with women who I feel attracted to. The dates have gone well. When I ask that person out again, I'm always hit with, 'Oh, well, I'm not looking to date anyone currently,' or 'I just didn't feel anything romantic with you.' If this happened once or twice, I'd be able to brush it off. However, this has happened after every single date I've had or every connection I make on dating apps. I appreciate the honesty from these women, and I appreciate their communication versus being ghosted, but I feel like maybe I'm undateable. Do you have any advice for me or other people currently struggling with the challenges of dating in the modern world? Marie."
Hi, Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We're good. This is Dylan Mulvaney. She's our special guest today. So say hello to Dylan.
Hi, Dylan.
Nice to meet you, Marie.
Nice to meet you.
So just to rewind, just to recap, you said as you started becoming interested in women, it's been more difficult to date.
Yeah. So I was definitely struggling with figuring out who I was attracted to because I was dating men at the time. And I just absolutely was not attracted to them going out on these dates. So I started talking to a few friends, and one of my friends had suggested, you know, maybe you're actually, you know, attracted to women. You should try dating some women, just trying to, you know, figure out who you are. Of course, it was also COVID lockdowns, and then with the challenges of working a pretty busy job and then starting school, I just wasn't really focused on my dating life until probably around the end of 2022. And then, you know, starting 2023 is when I really kind of started seriously getting back into the, you know, the dating game. With the past like couple dates I've went on, I felt like the connection was really great through text messaging. I thought the dates were going really well. We had a lot of good chemistry. But afterwards, when I'd go to ask these women out again, I'd be told like, hey, you know, I'm not really feeling a connection here. You know, hey, I'm not really thinking about dating at this time. And I'm not sure if I'm doing something unintentionally or subconsciously where I'm putting off like a vibe of like, hey, maybe, you know, I'm not interested in this person or anything like that. I'm just not sure if I potentially could be doing something that would be causing that.
How many dates did you go on?
I've been on 3 so far. I've asked out probably a total of 5 people. 2 of the people I've asked out, you know, they told me like, hey, I'm not looking to date right now. Or, hey, I'm sorry. I just started in a relationship with somebody else. And then the 3 actual physical dates I've been on, I've been ghosted by one person. And, you know, the other person is like, hey, you know, not really feeling a spark here. And then the last one was really the kind of the one that hurt the most because I did feel probably the most chemistry with this individual. The date went really well. And I'm not much of a hugger, but she went to hug me at the end of the night. And I hugged her back. And I was really hoping that maybe, you know, she'd want to go out with me again. But I went to ask like a week later and she told me like, hey, no, sorry, I'm not interested in like dating at this time.
Okay. Do you feel like something's happening on these dates? Or do you feel like you have a decent sense of self-awareness is the question?
Yeah, I do feel like I have a decent sense of self-awareness. I do feel that I'm a pretty competent individual and I do try to be an active listener when I am going out with these people. So, you know, if they tell me something, asking a follow-up question, you know, related to the conversation we've been having, I'm not sure if there's something subconsciously I could be doing that would be giving off that vibe. But I do feel like I'm pretty self-aware when I am on these dates.
Okay. Well, what I would say is, first of all, you should relax your attitude about the whole thing. Okay. Because life is about rejection. You're going to get rejected a ton of times. It's going to happen again. It's going to keep happening. You know what I mean? And then there are going to be people in between that you're going to date and that you're going to have, and it's going to be mutual. You need to look at this, just kind of change your perspective. I think will change the outcome a lot. I think you should look at these things as more casual and be a little bit lighter. If you can figure out a way to really relax yourself before you go on these dates so that you're not coming off too strong or you're not coming off too rigid. I know you said you're not a hugger. Like that can kind of send out a certain energy when people don't like to be hugged. When someone goes in for a hug and that person's not a hugger, you can feel it. And that can kind of be a chasm. Do you meditate at all?
I've started to get into the meditation. I had downloaded the Calm app yesterday and I've been starting to get into that a little bit.
Is that what you use, Calm?
Well, I was just going to say, it's the universe must have been tapping you on the shoulder because that's a good app. And I wanted to know what city do you live in? Because I'm available. I'm kidding.
The closest big city that I'm located to would be La.
Okay, I was just curious about what the lesbian scene is like out there because with experience now being around some lesbians out here, they stick together. You know, we travel in packs. Well, I go both ways right now. But I will say that maybe if you can insert yourself into just being friends with some gals who like gals in your area, that way, you know, people can get to know you or these potential women can see you, they can experience you, get your personality, get at your quirks. They'll learn that you maybe aren't a hugger, but love that about you. And then something could potentially happen more organically. Mm. Whereas right now, if you're meeting people online, there's this precedent like, oh, we're here not to be friends. We're here to potentially date. And that's a lot of pressure. Whereas I think in the queer community, so much of it happens in person. It happens at, you know, a gay bar or a bonfire, you know, just that fun, lively queer connection. So I would almost take a detour from the dating and really focus on finding some amazing lesbian friends that can also help guide you to some other people, hopefully nearby.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And making it a numbers game. So going on lots of first dates, think of first dates as just like throwaways a little bit.
Think of it as practice. Like just
exactly.
Like you don't have to look at a date like, oh, okay, I hope this is the one. You can look at it as like, what a great way to get to know how to do this better and how to relax yourself. So there's not so much pressure each time you go out. It's almost like if you overdate for a little bit, you get more comfortable with dating.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And I know you have a really intense job and she's in the Army as well.
I could tell. So. I was going to say, are you in the military?
Yeah. So maybe, you know, not going on a date right after work where you have to bring that intensity, you know, maybe taking some time to breathe, to decompress, listen to some like nice music, move your body a little bit before you go on a date so you're just like feeling loose and free and like having a good time when you go out.
I would say you come across as you have this kind of intense energy, which is a wonderful thing. But now it makes sense. Like, you do need to decompress. You do need to meditate. You do need to relax so that you can, so you're not bringing your job to your dates with you, right? I'm sure your job is a huge part of your life. But until you get to know somebody, that's not their responsibility. So, you know, you have to just, I think your job from here, from this phone call, your takeaway should be ways to really calm yourself so that you're walking into this with an energy of fun, not okay, I'm gonna conquer this, you know what I mean, like I'm gonna get my girlfriend. You should go in it as like experiential, like okay, this is gonna be wonderful, I'm gonna learn about this person and then I'm gonna learn about this person, and it's not so methodical, it can be a more casual experience. And like what Dylan was saying, do you have a group of friends? Do you have a group of lesbians or any friends that are lesbians?
Nobody really close by, but I did join like a meetup group where it was, you know, like, hey, yes, LGBT, let's go on hikes on the weekend, activities like that, that I was thinking about, like meeting up with some of those people on a, you know, weekend hike.
I'm obsessed with that. And you already made that initial step. And I'm someone, I'll be honest with you, I haven't even been kissed as a girl yet. And I've never dated anyone seriously. And I just think that we are going to find someone amazing. And it probably might even happen in person, because if these apps don't, I don't feel like they're working for me. It sounds like maybe you're having some trouble too. Let's get in one of those groups and let's meet some hot people.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, it just takes one. My best girlfriend was in a super similar position to you. She had dated guys. It wasn't working out. She decided to date women. And she was so intimidated every time she'd go on a date that like she would call it off right afterward. Then she finally met someone. She's like, this is going to be nothing. It's just a friend thing. She just came out too. We're going to hang out. They made out for 4 hours and they're still together a year later. So it just takes that one, you know?
Yeah, just sure, and treat everything a little bit more lightly. Like, you're just smiling. You're beautiful. You have a beautiful smile. Enjoy yourself. It doesn't have to be serious. It can be fun. Yeah. And so just focus on the aspects of fun and relaxation and being present, and it will be a lot easier for you. You know, you won't feel so rejected when something doesn't work out. There's no reason to feel that way. There's 8 billion people in this world. You know, you're not going to hit it off with everybody and have sexual chemistry with everybody. That's kind of a natural selection sort of thing. So just try and take it down a notch in terms of your expectations and being so kind of rigid or regimented about them.
Sure, sure. That's all great advice. I really appreciate it from everybody here.
And start that calm. You're going to see a difference in the way you feel 5 or 10 minutes a day, and you'll start to feel differently. I promise that.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much, Marie.
Thanks, Marie.
Keep us posted.
Good luck. We hope you get some poutang soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Oh, that was so cute. I immediately know. When she started talking, I'm like, is she the fucking army or she, what? With this and the hair and the thing. And I'm like, oh my God, when you said that, I was going to say, do you work in the military?
Completely. When we had our pre-interview call, she was in like her military garb. And I was like, wow, I'm so afraid and intimidated right now. It was like hot, but intimidating.
But also imagine that balance. Like when you're doing that, you're serving in the armed forces and then you're supposed to have like this casual encounter. It doesn't.
You can't approach it the same way.
It's a total seesaw. So so that makes sense. Anyway, okay, well, we're going to wrap up, right?
Exactly.
We'll take a break,
and
we're going to wrap up with Dylan Mulvaney. Moms are more than the stuff they do for us, the laundry, cooking, and driving. And by the way, dad should be helping with that stuff too. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. This Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best, and that's why Bouqs is giving you 25% off your entire order of farm fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. Here's what's great about the Bouqs company. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers that you cannot find anywhere else. Bouqs is simple. Go online, pick the delivery date, and you are done. Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mother. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma. So go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chelsea.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back!
We're back!
We're back!
Just a delight. Just an absolute delight having you here, Dylan. I loved you before I met you, and I love you now. And I just can't wait to see what's in store for you.
I'm so excited. I do have one question for you before I leave. Oh. So we just talked about how Miss Marie there doesn't have anyone. I have yet to be kissed as a girl. I wanted to know, do you think it would be better for me to rip off the Band-Aid and just get it done, or should I save it for someone special?
I'm always about ripping off the Band-Aid.
I just, you know what it was? I needed to hear it from you. And so tonight, I'm going to hit the town.
I love it. Well, report back.
Will do.
Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Love ya.
If you'd like advice from Chelsea, shoot us an email at dearchelseapodcast@gmail.com. And be sure to include your phone number. Dear Chelsea is edited and engineered by Brad Dickert, executive producer Catherine Law. And be sure to check out our merch at chelseahandler.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit lisa.com/Chelsea to learn more. That's LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea here. I think we all know that hair loss has the power to kind of shatter your confidence. Not kind of. It really shatters your confidence. And that's where Zion Health comes in. Founded by top doctors in hair restoration, Zion offers both medicated and non-medicated treatments for men and women with thinning hair. Guys, unless you do something or talk to someone, your hair loss will only get worse. I'm not kidding, unfortunately. So get your confidence back on track and visit Zion. XYONHealth.com to get support today. That's XYONHealth.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.